Since this chapter is a longer chapter, I have broken it into two parts. This is part 2 of chapter 25. Wings of Chaos. Chapter 25. Dicey Onions. "Surrender now," Whisper hissed, but the guard ignored him, so he twisted his paws and shot the white flames at the man again, knocking him off his feet. The flames licked at flesh, and the man did not stir. The Whisper could see the faintest of movement in his chest. Satisfied, the Tabaxi dispelled the fiery spells and shouted to the Bullywogs, who had moved in but were not interfering. "Take them to the infirmary," Whisper yelled, then walked away to where his companions had gone minutes before. The Bullywogs looked around in confusion. Then some began to stir and went for the burned bodies, dragging them away. As Whisper started for the stairs, his mage hand floated back to him and handed him the stolen bone mask, which he pocketed with a smirk.
"Well, that's not how I would have done it. We have to act quickly,"
Snapjaw said as they stood in silence in the open room filled with dozens of straw mattresses.
"The castle is large, but it won't take long for word to travel."
Philip rubbed his forehead and said, "Where's the nearest bar? I can't deal with another Whisper-related thing today." As he said this, Whisper came up the landing and walked directly to Keelan.
"Heal,"
he said to the paladin, pointing at the cut on his ribs. Keelan complied, his glowing hands stitching together fur and flesh where the guard's blade had cut. Snapjaw gave Philip directions to the kitchens where he could find a drink, and the druid quickly left. Everyone else chose to ignore Whisper's actions for the moment, but Shale's hands trembled as she clenched them into fists, watching the Tabaxi sit on a mattress and start flipping through the pages of Asbara's spellbook. It seemed the bodies were being cleared out, but the cultists would come asking questions soon, and she wanted to know the layout of the castle before that happened.
"Ozirin,"
Shale said to the warlock, "I think we need to sneak around the castle and see who's in it, and where the ring and book are." "I say we rally the lizard folk," Keelan said, looking over to Snapjaw, who seemed nervous. "Snapjaw has agreed to take us down to the Bullywogs, and now," he glanced over at Whisper, "our timeline's been set in motion." Ozirin nodded thoughtfully.
"Shale and I will explore the castle under invisibility. Keelan and Reverence, can you rally the lizard folk and see how many you can bring to Snapjaw's side?"
Snapjaw nodded gratefully, and Keelan and Reverence agreed.
"We attack tonight. Spread the word."
He placed a hand on Shale's shoulder, and she told Trigger to stay in the room as they turned invisible and snuck back down the stairs. Shale felt an instant weight fall from her shoulders as the Tabaxi left her sight. Philip strolled casually across the courtyard to the door where the two guards had been standing before Whisper burnt their faces off. The door was now open, so he stepped through and peeked inside to see a large stretch of a room with high ceilings and rows of benches and tables, a great hall. At the end of the hall sat a large mound of gold and jewels, and a dozen men were sifting through the coins, counting and recording them on rolls of parchment. There was a small trail of blood smeared across the floor, presumably where the two bodies had been dragged to the infirmary. The trail led to a closed door. As Philip stepped inside the great hall, a man shouted, "You! Stop there!" Two robed guards with swords jogged to the druid, unmasked and looking wary. "What do you know? Did you see who attacked the guards?"
"Gentlemen," Philip said calmly. "I just came through here looking for a drink when I heard the commotion, but I'm afraid I didn't see the attack."
"Who are you?" the man demanded. He had dark, curly hair and a thick, tangled beard with streaks of gray at the chin.
"My name is Flop," Philip said.
"That's an odd name,"
the other guard said. This man was much younger, barely 20 if Philip had to guess, with brown hair and a plain face.
"It's a common name where I'm from,"
the half-elf said, with eyebrows raised and hands casually hanging from the pockets of his trousers. The older guard studied Philip, but seemed to find he wasn't a threat and motioned for him to continue.
"Go on, then," he said, relaxing. "You can find a drink in the kitchens. If you hear anything, let us know."
Philip thanked him and made for the kitchens. That had been an easy one to talk himself out of, which told him there was a very good chance they were looking specifically for a 7-foot-tall cat person. He pushed through the doors and was greeted by a large human man in a dirty smock that pressed against his wide belly.
"Greetings," Philip smiled. Am I to presume you're the cook?
Aye, the big man nodded, looking curious. Did you hear what happened outside?
I did, Philip frowned. What did you hear?
Only that some big cat killed a man and burned that poor boy badly. I could hear the screams when they woke him up a minute ago. They must have put him to sleep now.
It doesn't bode well. Say, do you have anything to drink in here?
Ale?
How much for one?
No recruit? The cook asked, walking back to fill a mug with ale from a tapped keg in the corner of the kitchen.
That's right, Philip said.
Figured. We share everything here. The cook handed him the mug, and he took a sip gratefully. The ale was rich and dark, if a bit flat, but still much finer than anything he'd had at the roadhouse. He was curious about how they managed to get their supplies through the marsh. The ocean must be close.
Say,
Philip said, setting down the mug and eyeing the bags of vegetables the cook had started to clean.
You wouldn't happen to need any help in the kitchens? I used to be a spice merchant, so I know a lot about flavors.
The cook brightened. It seemed the man was used to working alone and was grateful for the company.
Certainly. Here.
He slammed an onion down on the table next to a knife. Dice these onions.
Gladly,
the druid said, setting down his pack and slipping a pouch of swamp plants into his trouser pockets. He walked around the table and tied an apron around his front and wrapped a hand around the red onion.
Tell me, how many people do we need to cook for today?
As he began to chop. Ozrin and Shale snuck past the gathered bullywogs in the courtyard and entered a door at the end of where, three stories above, sat the mechanical dome they suspected was an observatory. The door was open, and they entered a small sitting room, where sat a hulking half-dragon figure with deep red scales and part of his muzzle torn out so flesh was pulled back and gave him a wicked half-grin. He wore heavy, polished armor and was draped in black robes with the hood pulled partially up. He was lounging back in a chair flipping through the pages of a book, looking surprisingly comfortable despite the plate mail. Shale stared at the figure and felt Ozrin pull on her elbow, bringing her to the stairs and up the second level. In the second level was an office bisected with another room. The door to the room was closed, and Shale pressed her ear to it and heard the squawk of a bird. Then a voice sounded from downstairs.
"Milord Borngrey," the voice called up. "There's an issue downstairs. We could use your help."
The voice was nervous, and they heard a book snap shut, followed by a sigh, and the door to the bedroom was opened. A tall elven male figure stepped out with shoulder-length pale hair. He had angular, handsome features, and as he stepped out, he straightened his finely cut robes, which were intricately designed in gray and black spun patterns. He took the stairs down, and Shale went into the room to inspect it. It was a bedroom, and in the corner on a desk sat a cage with a raven inside. It caught again and fluffed its wings, seeming to sense their invisible presences. From downstairs they could hear an angry voice. Shale crept back out of the room to listen.
"Locked room, didn't you hear? We have a problem."
"We will have to take care of it. For Resmir."
A deep, growling voice that Shale guessed belonged to the half-dragon responded. A door slammed, and the voices were too muffled to hear.
"Come on,"
she heard Ozrin whisper, and they began to search the room for information. Keelan and Reverence helped Snapjaw speak with the lizard folk, convincing them in covert conversation to rise and fight their enemies and take the castle and land for their people. As they followed the leader, Whisper watched them until they were gone, then descended the stairs past the forgery and back into the courtyard, where he confidently strode through the center of it and pointed to a group of bullywogs standing lazily in a corner.
"You!"
Whisper shouted in common.
"Who is in charge?"
One of the bullywogs riveted and hop-stepped forward.
"Borngrey,"
it said in strangled common.
"Elf, sir."
It pointed across the courtyard. Whisper nodded and spun on his heel, and saw the elf emerging from a circular stone chamber beside a black-robed human in another bone mask. A moment later, two other cultist guards appeared from the door of the great hall, helping a very burned young man with half his face red and blistered. Borngrey stopped in his tracks and looked at the burned man. The man looked at his leader, then saw Whisper and pointed at him, shouting,
"That's him! That's the Tabaxi that killed Fendir and burned me!"
"Stop him!"
Borngrey shouted at once, and the guards released the burned man and ran for the Tabaxi. The Whisper hadn't moved. Borngrey strode forward and said,
"You come in here and kill one of my men and injure another, then boldly stand out here like you've done nothing wrong."
"Why?" Whisper raised his chin to meet the elf's gaze.
"You should hire fewer stupid guards. The one attacked one of Resmir's own."
He gestured to himself.
They attacked first and I defended myself. He shrugged. And I spared this one.
The burned man sputtered, but Borngrey held up a hand to quiet him. He scrutinized Whisper, standing only a few feet from him, his guards now surrounding the Tabaxi, their weapons drawn.
What makes you think my guards would allow you in to see Resmir without qualifications? Who are you to the cult?
Whisper sighed in annoyance.
I spoke with the Black Death in the swamp.
He articulated the words carefully.
The dragon does not want treasure. He wants a book beneath this structure, and a ring held by the leader of the cult.
Borngrey's middle finger on his right hand twitched subtly, and Whisper caught a flash of gold before the elf folded his other hand over it.
We should not speak of this so openly.
Come with me. He turned, and the guards sheathed their weapons, though still watched the Tabaxi carefully as Borngrey led him to a room. The burned guard started to protest, but the elf shot him a warning look, and the boy quieted, physically drooping under the elf's gaze. Finally, someone who would listen to Whisper. Shale and Ozarin froze, still under the warlock's invisibility spell, as Whisper and the elf came up the stairs together and sat on chairs. The elf leaned toward him.
You said the Black Death told you he wasn't interested in treasure.
Whisper nodded.
Only the book and the ring.
Shale felt an angry heat in her chest. Borngrey cleared his throat.
So, that's what's holding him back from joining us.
He paused and looked at Whisper carefully.
He didn't tell you what the book contained?
The Tabaxi shook his head.
I am a messenger, he said. I have bad news for Resmir that will put her in a...
He trailed off, looking for the right word in common.
Foul mood.
What's this message? Whisper quickly told him of the caravan and Hama, and that it was taken by the authorities in Waterdeep. Borngrey nodded, looking troubled.
Very well,
the elf finally said.
I suppose I'll have to cast blame elsewhere for your attack against the burnt guards, but yes.
He seemed to be having an internal struggle.
Yes, it should be you who tells Resmir.
Shale wondered if the elf had other plans, or if he really did trust Whisper this easily.
I have someone who will heal the burnt guard,
Whisper told him, volunteering Keelan's healing. Shale's outrage grew. Of course, Keelan would heal the man, but that wasn't the point. In her invisible state, she dug her nails into her palms and thought, with complete certainty, I am done being Whisper's pawn. Ozarin bumped into her and, finding her shoulder, whispered under his breath,
Let's go.
The two of them took the stairs up to the third level as Borngrey led Whisper back down the stairs, saying,
You needn't stay with the lizards. I'll have a private room set up just for you.
The observatory room was dusty and crowded with stacks of paper on wooden desks. In the center of the room stood a long metallic tube with various pieces jutting from it. The tube pointed up at the mechanical dome, which was closed but had gears on it and a wheel beneath it with chains. Shale could see a few papers moving subtly as the invisible Ozarin went through them, and a piece of parchment notes appeared. Shale placed a hand curiously on the instrument and ran her fingers along it. She grabbed onto a small piece with a gear and pulled, snapping it off and holding it up in her hand to inspect it. With a shrug, she dropped it in her pocket and continued to look around the room.
What did you just do?
She heard Ozarin say, and she jumped.
You startled me,
she hissed.
Did you just break something?
He demanded.
That instrument is very delicate.
But before he could finish lecturing her, they heard a scraping thump and a growl from somewhere in the back of the room. Shale saw the shifting of books as something large moved.
Out now, she said,
and she saw Ozarin swipe up his parchment and pen, and the two of them ran down the stairs before they could find out what sort of creature lived in there. They dashed down the stairs and back through the courtyard, Ozarin directing her to another unexplored room near the great hall. They passed Whisper and Borngrey standing together speaking to the other cultists, and they heard dishes being set out in the hall and could smell the stew and fresh bread. The bullywogs were already moving to the hall for their meal. They waited until no one was looking in their direction, then opened the door and slipped through, leaving it ajar behind them. They entered a small stone temple room with a wooden statue of a five-headed dragon on a pedestal. Shale walked up to it and whispered to her invisible companion,
Tiamat. I found something in the observatory,
Ozarin said quietly.
It looks like they were tracking the dragon with that instrument. But based on their recordings, it seems like there were time dilations. I have no idea what that means, Shale said.
She heard him move around the room looking for papers, but it was mostly empty. She brushed her fingers along the base of the statue, looking for any sign of secret messages or trapdoors that might lead them to a hidden room beneath the castle, where a certain book for a dragon could be held. She still couldn't understand everyone's obsession with books. She paused, noticing something in the carving itself. One of the dragon jaws looked to have a crack in the wood, and upon further inspection, she saw that there was a spot on the back of its head that could be pushed. She pressed her fingernail into it, and the mouth opened with a pop, and a dagger fell out. She caught it by the hilt before it could clatter to the floor, and inspected the jeweled piece. The blade was sharp. She was just pocketing it next to the piece of instrument when she heard Ozarin's voice.
"We need to get back. The invisibility will wear off soon."
"Okay." She waited until they'd gotten back to the lizard folk's bedchambers, and Ozarin had dropped his spell before she handed him the dagger.
"Here, it may be useful to you."
He inspected it appraisingly.
"It looks like it has magical properties, though I'll need to study it further."
"Hey," Keelan said, jogging out of another room with Reverence trailing behind him. "We've recruited a lot of them."
"That's good news," Shale breathed,
choosing to keep her thoughts about Whisper to herself for now.
"Also," Reverence said casually, "Philip just came by and said he poisoned the meal. We told the lizard people not to eat any of it."
Ozarin grinned. "Genius. We may have a chance after all." Shale smiled as well, feeling that finally something was going right for them. Keelan beamed and crossed his arms proudly, then said,
"We attack as planned, in 1 hour. Prepare for a lot of puking."
Over the next hour, many of the lower-ranked bullywogs and cult members dished up their stew and hot bread and ate, while the other plates were carried off by lizard folk, to those high-ranking enough to need not retrieve their own meals. The groaning and vomiting came not long after, and in that chaos, the lizard folk arose and took up their spears. Snapjaw made his speech in a hissing language Shale couldn't hope to guess, and it seemed to rouse his listeners, who shook their spears and glanced at one another excitedly. Finally, Snapjaw raised a fist and pointed to the stairs, and the lizard folk rushed down 3 at a time. The standoff would happen in the courtyard as planned. Reverence dashed past them all in a blur of orange speed, some of his old energy coming back to him despite the lost amulet. He was going to close the portcullis to keep any of the bullywogs outside from entering the castle. Drums began to echo from the towers. Snapjaw signaled to the rest of the lizard men to take up arms. Shale drew her blades, and Trigger yipped next to her, his bushy tail wagging in anticipation. Once the last of the lizard men had cleared the stairs, she and her companions ran down, crying for blood. The wave of lizard folk crashed into a disarray of vomiting and sickly bullywugs, who tried to defend the sudden attacks and were quickly pushed back. Cultists appeared from the Great Hall, and Shale saw Philip was among them, spotting his companions and pushing past to get to them. The cultists had paused, clearly thinking that the attack was just another scuffle between two rival races, but quickly realized it was more than that and drew their weapons. Noticing Shale's companions, one of the cultists screamed at them to attack. They all clattered together with swords and spells, and Shale was soon flanked by two men with greatswords, one of them catching her under the arm and drawing blood, Trigger responding by leaping at the man's calf. Keelan's hands were on fire and burning any guard who moved too close, and the paladin blew his warhorn, the sound echoing across the courtyard. Shale saw a flash of blinding light from the corner of her eyes, and the men fighting her also paused to look as Philip summoned a storm of lightning. The strike incinerated two men in an instant. Trigger bit into one of the men's ankles and was kicked off as Shale struck him, his shield coming up just in time with a surprised grunt. There were shouts from another courtyard, more people coming to join the fight. Whisper ran past the man who'd fallen down the stairs into his private room and began heaving on the door, the gooey remnants of stew and bread exploding in chunks over the stonework. Outside, he saw the red half-dragon looking confused as he stepped out of a door. He ran to the half-dragon and said,
"The lizard folk are revolting."
"Help me deal with it then," he grumbled angrily, having crossed paths with the tabaxi for a brief second while he was with Borngrey.
He drew his greatsword and clanked forward in heavy armor, Whisper trotting behind him with tail swishing and cloak billowing. The large red dragon they'd called Velaxerum appeared around the corner with several pale and sickly-looking cultist guards trying to clutch their weapons and hold back the vomit. Shale turned just as a massive sphere of fire slammed into the group from behind, incinerating the guards and sending the half-dragon stumbling forward in surprise. He twisted as the flames drifted harmlessly over his scales, but was obviously unaware of who'd attacked. Shale knew only one person who conjured a sphere like that. Velaxarim roared, choosing to flee the fiery sphere, and instead evaluating the battle in the courtyard. The lizard folk had pushed the few remaining bullywogs, who'd once doubled their numbers, back into a smaller room and up the stairs. Philip's lightning continued to strike down on cultist enemies, and Keelan's blade was crackling with divine energy that burst apart anyone he hit. Shale's moonblade scimitar, given to her by the Emerald Enclave, went from a faint glow to a bright light as hope filled her. They were going to win this. She reveled in their victory, slashing down another cultist, when the half-dragon shouted above the fighting in a booming voice.
Margus, get your men out! The castle's taken!
He was moving back.
Get to the portal!
Shale felt her heart hammering in her chest as the cultists began to retreat.
To the portal!
Listening to Wings of Chaos, written by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. If you'd like to read more stories by me, visit my blog, alexisfienendahl.com. Thanks so much for listening.